We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. Alabama, I'm telling you. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. A couple of tech messages real quick before I go any further. Randy from Huntsville, that's interesting. He says, and I'm not going to name the practice, but he says there's a local family medicine practice that he's been going to for years, where his primary care doctor is. He said the doctor, actually, he got a call saying that he had been dropped as a patient because he didn't come in enough. Wow. He says, apparently I don't run to them on a regular basis, so they could charge me a copay and run up a bill. So I talked to the manager, and he confirmed this, and I'm shocked. He says, any other kind of trade or profession do I have to go to just to be seen when I don't need them? I'm paraphrasing slightly, but that's what he's saying. Yeah, listen, that is kind of messed up there, Randy, and I don't know how to explain that. I mean, doctors have to make a living. I get it, but I don't know why they can't have you. I mean, I'm generally healthy. I go see my doc when I need to, right? That's the way it's supposed to work. Doctors, lawyers, preachers, and undertakers are always going to have work, is what I always say. But it doesn't mean you have to see them every single day. In fact, if you're seeing them every single day, that means there's a bigger problem. Devin from Brownsboro says, some of these colleges and universities are beginning to find out the true meaning of the phrase, play stupid games and win stupid prizes. Yeah, nice. Devin, thank you. All right, let me switch gears. Dipper number two, and we'll have former Congressman Mo Brooks chiming in with us on this at the top of the hour. National insecurity. I could find you any number of ways to describe whether our national security is, you know, being met or whether we're insecure right now. I could point out regional conflicts. I could talk about regional tensions. I could talk about things like, oh, I don't know, the fact that we're being kicked out of Niger and we're no longer going to have the ability to do counterterrorist operations and gather human intelligence in North Africa because of it. I could also talk to you about Afghanistan, where we left $1 billion in weapons behind and allowed the Taliban to have a resurgence, and apparently Al-Qaeda is now active there again. I could talk to you about the fact that the Houthis were taken off the terror list, and within a year, they were shooting missiles at us. How's that work out? I could also talk to you, about the fact that Iran foments terror around the world, especially in its own Middle Eastern environment, and funds the Houthis, Hezbollah, and Hamas, and that we had them kind of pretty much locked in a box under the Trump administration, and the first thing that Biden did was give them billions of dollars and make their life easier. Don't explain it. I can't. I can't explain it to you at all. I could look around and say China, Taiwan. Does Taiwan know where we stand? I don't know. Do they? Do we know where we stand on Taiwan? I don't know. Under Biden, I'm not sure what's happening right now. But I do know this. China is bowing up more and more in just like in the last couple of days. The Taiwanese military had to go on full alert because of incursions into their airspace by Chinese military. I can look at North Korea and realize they're testing weapons again that they had stopped testing when Trump was in office. I could look at Europe and I could see where the fact that we had a war launch in Ukraine that was not underway when Trump was in office. By the way, the same Biden that is in charge now was the vice president when Russia came in and annexed Crimea in Ukraine and never said a word about it. And now we're sending everything we got over there. Every dollar we can find is going to Ukraine to fight a war that, oh, by the way, has one side nuclear. I could look at NATO and the strained relationships and I could see all these things and I could say national insecurity, but let me just pick one. Just one. Just one. Just going to talk about one. Southern border. We're talking about national security. Yes, we are. And I'm talking about our southern border in light of national security. Let me tell you something. If you had an army that stood up and had 1 million soldiers and marched on our border with intent to create instability and that somehow wound up causing the deaths of 100,000 or more Americans and caused the expenditure of much of our treasure and resources and put strains on our systems and caused our politics to be divided, would you be concerned? Well, what if 10 million came across our border? But they came across like in disjointed waves, but they're there nonetheless, and they bring with them fentanyl, which killed 100,000 people, And oh, by the way, we have no idea who a lot of them are, and the gotaways alone are concerning. And it's not like the old days when it used to be folks coming across from Mexico to work on farms. Not at all. We're seeing mass waves of people coming from countries that you never would have expected. Because the world is showing up at our southern border. It's as if an army is coming across. You know, and I've said before, if you look back in time, what they say that the fall of Rome was caused by a number of external and internal factors. And you can label some of them. And one of the factors that historians agree caused the downfall of the Roman Empire was a loss of control of its borders combined with a mass migration into its borders and the inability then to sustain themselves in light of a mass migration. We're not seeing, per se, just illegal immigration on our border. We are seeing mass migration. We're seeing whole peoples pick up and move. I mean, I'm watching right now. It's on the screen as we speak. And Bill Malugin from Fox is interviewing people. He's talking to a guy from Pakistan who's crossing the southern border. That Chinese nationals, I'll tell you about that in a minute, are at an 8,000% increase in the last couple of years coming across our southern border. You've got people streaming across just today that were throwing rocks and bottles at Border Patrol, trying to get them to back off so they could put a ladder up and scale the fence. It's unbelievable. The San Diego sector is going. There they are, right there. They're showing. I'm talking about it, and lo and behold, it comes up. They've got a ladder, and they are literally scaling the wall and fighting with Border Patrol for the right to come in our country, whether we want them to or not. And you look at that and go, look at them throwing stuff at the Border Patrol. I'm sorry, I'm giving you a play by play right now on our screen here in the studio. But let me just say,
that is pretty crazy.
It is crazy. Look at that.
They're like fighting at the very top of the fence, throwing ladders and bottles.
It's unbelievable, and they do it with impunity, complete impunity. Why? Because they believe they have a right to be here. Okay, listen. The bottom line is this. The Biden administration has created a great deal of instability. Yes, 100,000 or more U.S. citizens have died from fentanyl poisoning, largely coming across our southern border. Yes, whole systems are being strained right now. The medical systems, especially in the border areas, the housing, the ability to sustain people who are homeless and don't have jobs. And so there's this compulsion by liberal cities, especially, to give them stuff. And then you've got the idea that some of them want to let illegals vote. And you see that being a corruption of our electoral processes. All I'm saying is this. I am for legal immigration. I'm all for it. I have naturalized citizens in my family. I've said it many times on the show. I have no problem with that. But we are creating a national insecurity. Question was asked yesterday of the Biden administration. HotAir.com has a story that came out yesterday afternoon. Karine Jean-Pierre was asked why the President of the United States won't take action. Literally, a reporter. By the way, this is really, when you see the mainstream media starting to ask the hard questions, you know something's up. So a reporter asked why Joe Biden was not using his executive authority to address the problems at the southern border, and all that Karine Jean-Pierre could manage to say was, why should he? Why would he do it unilaterally? Why not do it in a legislative way? She tried to explain that the border issue should be legislative only. Never mind the fact that he opened the border with executive orders. He could fix this in a day. But the fact is, he wants a political opportunity. That's the goal here. The border's a political football for the Biden administration. What they want is the ability then to say, you know, we could have done it if Republicans would do something, but those MAGAs... Listen, the bottom line is national insecurity is resulting in what I've got right here in a separate article from Fox News. Record-breaking number of Chinese nationals have crossed illegally on the border, up 8,000% in the last 3 years. 8,000%. In 2021, 342 known Chinese illegals crossed our border. This year alone, just since October, this fiscal year, 27,583 Chinese nationals have been intercepted by the Border Patrol. 27,583, up from 342. 90% of those have been in the San Diego sector, going into California. Republicans and some border officials, the article says, are raising concerns about the potential for espionage, and the indications are that there's any number of people coming across of military age. But of course, Democrats responded to that saying that's hyperbolic and xenophobic rhetoric to scaremonger about a foreign invasion. Okay. To which the Republicans replied, it's sad that House Democrats respond to this sounding more like Chinese state media than anything else. The number of migrant encounters in April went down slightly, but we still have 179,000 encounters on the southern border just in April alone, compared to 211,000 in the year before that and 189,000 the year before that. The trends aren't getting better. They're not. And when you see an 8,000% increase in Chinese nationals just in the last couple of years, something's up. Let me grab a call real quick before the break. Is that Brian? Brian from Huntsville. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Doing okay. I hope y'all are as well.
We are, brother. Thank you for your service, by the way.
Oh, thank everybody out there that, sure, I serve, but the people that lost people, they are the ones that really serve, and I thank them.
Absolutely. What you got, man?
But beyond that, anybody that's owned a house for an extended period of time knows that water causes damage unless you prepare it. You put borders up, your gutters, that type of thing, and you try to keep most of it away from it. Otherwise, it seeps into the foundation. Then your home starts buckling and crumbling.
Yeah.
Our southern border is that water leak. We need to control it. You have to control it in your home, and you have to control it in all of our homes.
Yeah.
You have a good one, sir.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you. That's a great point. That water intrusion will wind up cracking the foundation. It's insidious. It creeps through into other places. That's a great analogy. All right, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back and continue with this thread, national insecurity. And keep in mind, too, coming up top of the hour, we'll have former Congressman Mo Brooks on the air with us. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like making common sense like a superpower. And by the way, how much common sense does it make to just leave your border open? I mean, listen, there was a time when Charlene and I, our neighborhood felt so safe. We just left. I mean, I think we left our doors unlocked at night and weren't too, but not anymore. Mm-mm. And it's not like our neighborhood has gone down. It's more like the world is just not where we think it should be. And so, yeah, we lock our doors at night. We turn the alarm on, you know, but picture that you live in a neighborhood, which is, I don't know, somewhat checkered in its ability to be safe, right? Let's say you live in a place where leaving the doors unlocked at night is not a good thing. And you do more than that. You just leave the door standing open and the light on so everybody can see the door standing open. How much sense would that make? Maybe even put a sign out front that says, if you want some food, it's in the refrigerator. And people walking by go, cool. And they just come in and take it. And then you're surprised when they do. That's the way our southern border is right now. But that also creates instability. It creates insecurity. And then you got things like this. Like Fox News has a story that came out yesterday. Very brief. No big deal. Come on. How bad can it be? A Mexican national jumped a fence at Laughlin Air Force Base as he was trying to get away from Del Rio Border Patrol agents who conducted a traffic stop and tried to detain him. 17-year-old male. It's military age, by the way. 17-year-old male ran from the vehicle and breached the base. He was taken into custody. Okay, but Phil, that's a guy trying to get away. I mean, it was just, you know, by happenstance that it happened to be at Laughlin Air Force Base, was it? I don't know. But then I start looking at the big picture. How about this one from yesterday? ICE, that's Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE now confirms that the two men who tried to breach the base at Quantico were both Jordanians who were here illegally. Okay. One of two Jordanian nationals who attempted to breach the Marine Corps base Quantico in Virginia earlier this month crossed into the U.S. illegally in April before being released. The other was a foreign student whose status had been terminated in January. Spokesperson for the base said two people in a box truck were stopped at the gate. The driver allegedly told military police they were making a delivery to the post office and they worked for a subcontractor of Amazon. Amazon, though, says they do not know who the individuals are and that there is no one working for them by that name. Interesting. They were taken into custody. We don't know the outcome, except that we do know now one of them was arrested when he crossed the border illegally near San Ysidro, California, and was released on his own recognizance. He made it from California to Virginia within a few weeks and linked up with another Jordanian who was also here illegally in an expired student visa, and together, for reasons that have not been made known, they tried to get in the gate at Quantico. What is Quantico? Oh, that's right. It's a Marine Corps training center. Oh, it's also one of the major FBI training centers. Go figure. How about this one? Story off of NBC. Right at 6 weeks ago. An Afghan migrant on the terror watch list spent nearly a year inside the U.S. after he was apprehended. What? Yes. Why is a person on the terror watch list released on their own recognizance? Can anybody... Biden. That's all I can figure. I don't know what to say. The man was arrested in February again and then released last month again by an immigration judge who had not been told that the person was a national security threat. The guy's name is Mohammed Karwin. He was taken into custody. And it says that he had no reason to believe that he had entered the country as part of a terrorist mission. Does that really matter? Is that the criteria? Well, we asked him what he was going to do here, and he said he wasn't planning on blowing anything up, and we went ahead and believed him. Well, why was he on the terror watch list? Well, he blew something up somewhere else. Okay. And he also broke the law to get here? Yeah, there's that too, but you know. And so you got biometric data on the guy from somewhere in the war zone where he was doing bad things. He comes across our border illegally, and you release him on his own recognizance because we didn't think he was here to blow the thing up. It was, you know, there was no evidence it was going to be a terror. He's on the terror watch list. And then there's this one. Fox News, Dateline yesterday. A mysterious shooting in North Carolina just outside of Fort Liberty, which is really Fort Bragg, not far from where some of America's most elite U.S. Special Operations Forces live and train. Let me summarize it for you real quick with the minute we have left. Two Chechen men who were here illegally, speaking in broken English, were apparently photographing the children of a Green Beret colonel. He identified them as mysterious and questioned what they were doing, confronted one of them, and it turned into a shooting. One Chechen's dead, the other one's in custody. And this, by the way, is part of what some U.S. Special Operations soldiers say around the country has been going on with strange interactions in recent years where they believe they are being surveilled. And we have people coming across our border on a regular basis, and we don't even know what they're here for. And even when they're on the terror watch list, they're just released on their own recognizance. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to have a chance to get to it, but I got an article right here called Terrorists Are Now Welcome. And that's the way it appears. Terrorists, now welcome. National insecurity. We'll talk to Congressman Mo Brooks about this when he gets back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, I'm proud to bring back a friend of the show, former Congressman Mo Brooks, served for a number of years from 2011 up to 2023, I believe, and as a congressman for Alabama's 5th Congressional District. Also spent time in the legislative processes here at the state of Alabama. And, oh, by the way, he was one of the founding members of the House Freedom Caucus. And during his time in D.C., by the way, he also sat on House Armed Services and House Foreign Policy Committees or Foreign Affairs. And I want to get his take on some of what we just talked about. So without further ado, Congressman Mo Brooks, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Just looking at the beautiful waters of Lake Guntersville.
It's that retirement thing going again, huh?
Yes, that's right. I'm rubbing it in. earlier this week, we had our 14th grandchild born down in Birmingham. That's where I head as soon as this interview is over with. 10th granddaughter and 4 grandsons. The boys want more boys, but I don't know if they're going to get them.
That is amazing. Congratulations to all of you. That's good doings right there. That's you can't beat grandkids. We've got 2, so I have a lot of catching up to do. But those 2 are perfect, and I can't wait to see them again soon. As a matter of fact, Mo, let me ask you a question. So as we're talking through this stuff about national insecurity, the southern border, first of all, if you know, in your time, having spent time in D.C., you know, Biden's trying to blame the legislative process, which I think is a joke because we know the House has already passed major legislation. They just don't want to take it up. But that being said, what else could they be doing in Congress right now? What could be happening in D.C. right now that would deal with things like an 8,000% increase in Chinese nationals coming across our southern border?
Well, in a general sense, any president of the United States has the power given to the president by the Constitution and by federal statutes to prevent illegal aliens from crossing the border. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Certainly, we've had presidents who have done a lot better with basically the same set of laws. And, well, I don't know that anyone's done as bad as Joe Biden. Certainly not that I can point to. Barack Obama might have been close, but keep in mind Joe Biden was his vice president.
Right.
So they were working as cohorts, buddies. So that's the problem is we've got a president who supports open borders. And only recently, with the American people being outraged at the President Biden administration's inaction, has he started at least trying to give the appearance of being for border security or ducking it or blaming it on Congress. But he's absolutely wrong. He can shut it down. By way of example, he's commander-in-chief. Under the United States Constitution, the President of the United States not only has the right, but he also has the legal obligation to protect states from invasions. That's a contract between the federal government and the states who have signed that contract when they joined the union. And this president has violated that contractual obligation to defend the states from invasion, which is what this poor southern border constitutes with the millions that have come across our borders illegally. He's violated the Constitution. In my judgment, it's treason. And if I were in the House of Representatives, I would have drafted articles of impeachment based on that one element, that one breach, that one act of treason.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we don't have folks who are willing to do it.
No, I totally agree. It's a complete abdication of his authority, responsibility, his duties, actually.
It's a breach. It's not just I don't want to do it, I don't have to do it.
Absolutely.
He has a legal obligation in the Constitution to do it, and he's in breach, and he's costing American lives to the tune of over 100,000 per year from the drugs and the overdoses resulting them from because of our poor southern border. Then you've got another 2,000 Americans who are killed each year at the hands of illegal aliens. So these are Americans who are dead, killed on American soil by illegal aliens who are part of that invasion across our southern border. And these deaths are occurring because the President of the United States has abdicated his legal responsibility to secure that border to protect us from invasion.
Well, so let me ask you about this, because the word invasion, I think, is very apropos. I mean, I think it's real. And I do think that there's some level of organization behind it. I mean, at the very least, you're seeing Soros-funded NGOs that are helping to push people to the border and yada, yada. But then you look at things, there's some really strong indicators that something's up. When you see an 8,000% increase in Chinese nationals, when you see Chechens that are here illegally photographing special operations soldiers in their homes, or when you see two Jordanian nationals who were here illegally trying to get through the gate at Quantico, talk to me about the level of insecurity we should have as a nation right now with the borders being open like they are.
Sure. As a preface or background, America has enemies that want to kill Americans. On the large global scale, you've got communist China and Russia, but they're a little bit more diplomatic about what they do because that would be perceived as an act of war if their agents came into America and started randomly killing Americans. That doesn't mean they don't send in their citizens as spies in order to enhance their prospects of winning a combat with the United States of America, should one ensue. Then you've got other entities like Al-Qaeda, Islamic State, Hezbollah, or anything associated with Iran, Hamas. They are enemies of the United States. They're not so hesitant. They are more than happy to kill as many Americans as they can, even if it means the loss of their own lives. Remember 9/11, 20 people killed a couple of thousand.
Yeah.
Those were the rough numbers.
Yeah.
So these people are committed. And so you have to have a secure southern border and northern border in order to minimize the risk that our enemies are taking advantage. In Russia and Chinese instances, spying, perhaps where they buy land next to military bases and engage in observation activities that might help Russia or China should they engage in conflict with either American weaponry or American itself. Then on the other level, we've got who knows how many groups of terrorists, cadres, that have entered the United States and are waiting for the signal to become active, to quit being moles, but to surface and kill under whatever circumstances their directives are from these Islamic terrorist entities. So all of this relates to our southern border. And I'll give you an example as to how bad it has gotten. You mentioned some data. I'm going to use a little bit of that, but I'm going to expound on it too.
All right. Go ahead.
Last year, 169 members of the FBI's terrorist watch list were caught. Now, keep in mind that the vast majority of people who come across the southern border, the FBI is not involved with and doesn't catch. But that 169 that came in 2023 alone is more than the previous 4 years before Biden administration took office. So in 1 year, more than in 4 years under President Trump.
Wow.
Then you've got, you mentioned the communist Chinese. Well, you know, I think a lot of those communist Chinese are coming here to just try to get a better life because it is a very oppressive system that they live in communist China. In 2023, it was 24,000 that came in illegally, and that's more than the last decade all put together.
Yeah.
1 year, more than the entire previous decade all put together. And embedded in these 24,000 communist Chinese, I'm absolutely confident that there are some number of spies and perhaps saboteurs should the need ever arise.
It boggles the mind. And at some point, I mean, there is not only is there a duty, but there's a complete abdication of that duty. It's even more than a breach. It's like they just have chosen. In fact, Mo, I'll be honest with you. When all this started and I saw Biden doing his executive orders on day one to sort of free things up at the border to his own notions, I thought, okay, bad policy. Here we go. I've really decided this is an intentional act. This is an absolute intentional act to make sure that our borders are open. And there's nothing good about it. There's nothing they can point to that says that's a good thing. That's why we did it.
Well, the Democrats are, in effect, and have morphed into the Marxist Party here in America. Yeah. And I say that with all sincerity and all seriousness, with everything that is involved in that. They want total control of the government. They want to seize the money earned by regular American citizens to distribute it to everybody on an equal basis. And that will collapse our economy. And hopefully people understand that it's the free enterprise system, primarily in America, but in a few countries around the globe, that have collectively caused the improvements in the human condition that we've seen over the last 100, 200 years. You know, go back 200 years. The kings and queens of 200 years ago had worse health care than the poorest American has today. Okay? And that's because we have opened up the intellectual abilities of people to come up with new ideas, new treatments, new diagnostics, you name it, that has improved the human condition for all of us.
Sure. Absolutely.
And the wealth that's been created because of our free enterprise system, what people can do when they have freedom, liberty, to use their God-given talents as they wish, it's just amazing. And the Marxists want to kill that.
Well, they do, and I think that one of the chief ways they do that is by opening the borders to the point that we have systems now, and then design that to fall into line with the whole sanctuary city, sanctuary state notion. We'll keep giving you free stuff if you come here. The carrot and the stick, it's all carrot. There's no stick. And, Mo, I watch it, and I watch it with, you know, almost like slack jaw amazement. But all I can do is hope that the executive orders can be rewritten in the next administration. That's all we can hope for right now.
Let's hope and pray that the American people will be smarter than they've proven themselves to be at the ballot box in 2018, 2020, and 2022.
No doubt.
They got to be smarter. They're going to lose their country.
Mo Brooks, thank you. Congratulations on being granddad for the 14th time. And
to go visit.
Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you. You too.
All right. We'll see you, man. All right. We're taking a break. We're going to switch gears. I'll take some text messages, catch up on those because they're piling up on me. And then I'm going to spend some time heading into the Memorial Day weekend talking about what I say are monumental memorials. I'd love to hear your thoughts on your favorites. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like making it cool to be a conservative, saving the world one soundbite at a time, putting truth out there like bumper stickers. All right, so let me go to the text messages real quick. Bert from Owens Crossroads says, all the memorials are awesome, but I first saw the Korean War Veterans Memorial on a wet, dark afternoon during the U.S. Customs Air Security startup right after 9/11, and it was the most sobering experience viewing the statues trudging uphill in their wet weather gear. Yeah, that's a very – you're right, and thank you for saying that, Bert. I appreciate that. I want to hear from the rest of y'all in a minute. What's your favorite your favorite monumental memorial is what I'm calling them. And I've got several that I'll get to here in a moment, one of which probably a lot of y'all haven't heard of. David from Danville, Alabama says, Mo has his head on straight. Good man. I would agree with that. That's a very succinct and to-the-point text, and you are correct, sir. Paula from Lacey Springs says, so good to hear from Olive Tree Ministries. They are on top of – okay, what? They are on top of national, international issues of concern to Christians. I make a diligent effort to listen to their Understanding of the Times radio broadcast Saturday. Oh, I'm sorry. I see what you're saying, Paula. Thank you very much. Yes, she heard through the PSAs and other things that are on the air. Thank you, Paula. Appreciate that. Jay from Hartsel says, I'm 44 years old, and I can't remember looking this week on the world stage. We're no longer proactive, and we're 100% reactive. I'm not even sure we have any foreign policy. No, I don't think we do. Not at all. Tim from Gurley says, Phil, if Trump wins, the Capitol burns. Antifa and BLM burn cities down. There's absolutely no consequences. Remember, they're just expressing themselves. Why wouldn't they? I don't know what you're saying here. If Trump wins, the Capitol burns? Is that what you're saying? So you're thinking that basically that the liberals are going to riot, Tim, I guess? How about this? If Trump loses, the nation burns. It can be a fast burn or a slow burn. Take your pick. But I disagree. I think that the bottom line, Trump wins. There may be some outrage, there may be some liberal angst, and I think, you know, the war in the heavenlies will play itself out a little bit. But in the end, I do believe that we are far better off as a nation to get Biden out of office. Glenn from Bluntsville says, squatters are a big problem with illegals. Yes, sir, we're seeing that everywhere. Gary from Decatur says, almost no one in government's concerned about how much money we don't have and soon won't be able to borrow. Gary, not on topic right now, but you are correct, sir. We are spending into oblivion right now, $30 billion plus, actually $33 billion, I think, in the national debt. Ken from Danville, it's a long text. She says, let me first thank you and Big Rig on your service, as well as all the other servicemen and women that's listening or gone before and their families. Says, my mom engaged the assistance of two of her friends making pillows for the Alabama National Guard being deployed to the Middle East from 2008 to 2014. As a request from my brother, who was in the 82nd Airborne, continuing after his death in memorial. Wow, how about that? Said, I have no idea how many thousands of pillows she hand-delivered to soldiers at the Yellow Ribbon programs before deployment, before she became disabled, unable to continue making these pillows. She is still with us. She gets very emotional when she talks about having to give up her mission to assist soldiers with some form of comfort from home. Well, Kim, you tell her that we love her and thank her, and she is definitely an OG ruffian right there. That is good doings. And Kim, if you don't mind, I'd love it if you'd send us a picture. You can text it to us, a picture of one of those pillows. I'd love to see what she was doing. But that is way cool, and you tell her that we appreciate her more than she could possibly imagine, and thank her for her time. Clay from Madison says, Biden's school loan payoff takes you 20 years. You can't pay off $10,000. You'd never be allowed to borrow the money ever again. That works out to $41 a month. Okay, Clay, that's off topic too, but thank you very much. John from Huntsville, Phil, Mo Brooks is currently in the lead. All right, we're going to watch and see how this plays out, but all right. And then JT Lacey Springs that says, Happy Friday, and he sends me a meme of a self-storage company that says reelecting Biden is like the Titanic backing up to hit the iceberg again. Oh, I see. It's an electronic sign at a self-storage company. Now I get it. But that's pretty good, actually. Wow. And then what do we got here? A very long text from somebody that listen, I don't know what all you're asking me here to do. It says, Phil, don't know if you're going to recognize vets today or not. I tried to send the below text last Veterans Day, but I was pulled over the side of the road on the backside of Sand Mountain. Don't think it went through, so I'm trying again now. And by the way, let us, if you go ahead and plug them in, they go by the name McBee. So I'll tell you what, McBee, I'll go over that text and read it out when we get back on the air right after this break. Appreciate you listening and glad you're here. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We're going to talk about some monumental memorials coming up here momentarily. Y'all stay tuned. Be right back.